Coming up on Encouragement Live, we think of Mother's Day as a time of celebration, and it is. But for some, it's a trigger for trauma. Therapist and author Dr. Mark McNear joins me to talk about it on Encouragement Live.
Welcome to Encouragement Live, providing biblically based encouragement and insight on a wide range of practical life issues. Now here's your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
Thank you, Steve. And friend, it's so good to have you with us as live from studios located at First Christian Church of Wylie, Texas, Encouragement Communications presents Encouragement Live. Our mission is to provide biblically based encouragement and insight on a wide range of issues. Dr. Mark McNear joins me tonight. I can get my tongue in gear. Mark is a licensed clinical social worker. He has over 30 years' experience in clinical practice. He's authored the book, Finding My Words, A Ruthless Commitment to Healing Gently After Trauma. Mark's a graduate of Northeastern Bible College, New York University, and Oxford Graduate School. He's a frequent guest on a number of radio programs, including Encouragement Live. And Mark, it's great to have you back on the program.
Hi, Don. Good evening. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well, thank you, and I trust you are, my brother.
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Well, we're delighted to get into this. Well, before we actually start talking about Mother's Day and trauma, an interesting juxtaposition there, let's go back and get you to remind us about what we mean by trauma. How do we define this?
Sure, I'd be glad to. When we talk about trauma, we're really talking about a wound, you know, an injury that we have had or injuries that we have had. And, you know, I often think, Don, living in a broken world or a world that's been impacted by the fall, there's a lot of woundedness that we experience as individuals.
Yeah, and it's something that comes, as you mentioned, the source or cause of this trauma really goes back to the fall, does it not? And the sin that has infected and affected us all.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's connect this to Mother's Day. Why would Mother's Day be a source of trauma for a percentage of people?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think one of the things I was thinking about in planning for tonight is just the idea, Don, that even expectations, people have these high expectations that it's going to be wonderful. You know, everything's going to be fine. And like I said, there's a lot of wounding that goes on, and I deal with people in and out, day in and day out, that have had wounding. And a lot of them, you know, in the last couple of weeks have been talking about the fact that they're really struggling with Mother's Day coming. There's a lot of issues around it, you know, and I guess the just putting it out there and having it be so positive is not always accurate.
I was reading an article by Dr. Sandra Glahn of Dallas Theological Seminary, and congratulations to the seminary, the 100th anniversary, which was celebrated this weekend. But Sandra mentioned a number of reasons why people are traumatized by Mother's Day and why it's a source of trauma. Infertility. People have wanted to have a baby and tried and haven't. People who've miscarried. Women who've had an abortion and been traumatized by that. Who've lost a child, perhaps a young infant or a sudden infant death syndrome, or perhaps even later, or maybe had an abusive mother, something like that. Maybe some of you listening tonight sort of dread Mother's Day, and you feel traumatized. You'd like to call Mark and me, and we'd like to talk with you about it. The number is 855-586-LIFE. You might write that down. That's 855-586-5433. And again, if you'd like to order a copy of Mark's book, Finding My Voice, Mark, the best place to go would be Amazon.
Absolutely. Yeah, they can order it on Amazon. Finding My Words, A Ruthless Commitment to Healing Gently After Trauma.
Great. And let's keep that in mind. We'll be talking about that book tonight. And we welcome your phone calls at 855-586-LIFE. That's also 855-586-5433. And we'll archive the program on our website, encouragementlive.org. We'll be right back. Dallas Theological Seminary President Dr. Mark Yarborough on the story of Scripture.
It's a two-day seminar that walks individuals from Genesis to Revelation and tells the grand story of God and what He is doing.
Don't miss your opportunity to find your place in the greatest story ever told.
And we find out by the time we get to the Gospels, it's all about Jesus.
To learn more or sign up, visit thestoryofscripture.org, thestoryofscripture.org.
In Hebrew, the number 18 symbolizes life. It's Chai, a word that echoes hope and blessings. The Master Life Coach Training Institute, Agape Care International, and the Fund for Victims of Terror extend this lifeline to Israeli military and their families, offering trauma assistance during these challenging times.
You can stand with Israel by donating as little as $18 at mymlcti.com, providing training and support to volunteers who uplift broken hearts.
Donate now. Be a blessing.
This is Encouragement Live. I'm Don Hawkins. Dr. Mark McNear is with me tonight. We're talking about trauma and Mother's Day. And there are times that people are traumatized. And Mark, I think about many of our churches over the years. We have all the mothers stand. We pass out corsages or flowers or roses or something of that nature. And then those who remain seated, perhaps who wanted to be a mother but weren't able to have a mother, are sort of traumatized all over again. Those who've miscarried and never had a baby carried to term, or those who perhaps had abortion, those who lost a child early on, all of that can lead to trauma, can it not?
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, one thing I'm really excited about is I see the church getting much more sensitized to these issues and stepping in and you know, really encouraging people to mourn, allowing people to feel what they're feeling. You know, there's an adage that talks about you cannot heal unless you feel. And so, you know, it's really important for us not to deny our emotions. Of course, we can't act on our emotions, but on the other hand, we need to be aware of them so that we can heal and not act upon them.
You just zeroed in on a verse of Scripture I felt like we needed to talk about tonight. You used the word mourn, and it's the passage I'm speaking on tomorrow, and it's a very unusual Mother's Day. You know, typically we preach on Proverbs 13 mother, or maybe Mary, the mother of Jesus, or maybe Sarah or Hannah or somebody like that in Scripture. But Matthew 5:4 said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." It seems to me that's a verse that really relates to the topic we're talking about tonight.
You know, absolutely. I think that really, really important for believers to be able to mourn the things that have happened in their lives, to be able to come to grips with the reality of that and bring it to the Lord, and being able to sit with the Lord with these painful things and allow Him to come in to heal.
Yeah, and there's so much to think about in terms of that. I want to come back and unpack that verse a little bit. But some people don't understand that physical pain is real, but so is emotional pain. Could you address that issue, the reality and the impact of emotional pain?
Yeah, I think that in my own life and in the book that I wrote, I certainly talked about physical abuse, sexual abuse, material abuse, verbal abuse, all of those. And you know what? I carried it my whole life, and it really caused me to develop a lot of difficulties in my life, including addiction to prescription medications. And so I think that, you know, we have a tendency, because we're not comfortable with people suffering, not to move into the story, but we really got to get better at stepping into people's stories and allowing them to share the pain that they have.
One of the things we'll talk about tonight is how you can encourage someone who's going through this kind of trauma. Maybe somebody who had an abusive mother, and maybe like Mark, you were traumatized by that, and maybe some of those negative things, some kind of addiction or depression or anxiety disorder, those kinds of things. Those are so common. We'd love to talk with you and pray with you tonight. Give us a call at 855-586-LIFE. That's 855-586-5433. The book, again, is titled Finding My Voice, and it's a book that talks about a relentless way to deal with gently with trauma. We'll be right back. That book's available on Amazon.com.
In the heart of tradition, where each letter carries weight, the number 18 stands tall. In Hebrew, it's Chai, the very essence of life, a symbol woven into the fabric of Jewish culture. At celebrations, we toast L'chaim, to life, anticipating joy and prosperity. Now, the Master Life Coach Training Institute, Agape Care International, and the Fund for Victims of Terror channel this ancient blessing to those who need it most.
In the shadow of conflict, Israeli soldiers and their families face the toll of war. Let's stand with Israel by donating just $18 at mymlcti.com.
Your gift, less than a family meal at some fast food restaurants, can nourish souls by training volunteers dedicated to mending spirits shattered by crisis.
Visit mymlcti.com to make a donation. That's mymlcti.com.
Sat7 is satellite Christian television.
Dr. Rex Rogers, president of Sat7.
We broadcast throughout the Middle East and North Africa every day, 24/7, in Arabic, Farsi, and Turkish. Farsi is Iran. So we're speaking in a people's home and heart language. We're sharing the gospel.
To learn more or support this ministry, visit sat7usa.org. That's sat7usa.org.
Toni King on her new book, The Maze of Medicare.
I looked up on the internet how many books have biblical in regards to Medicare, and there was zero. And then God brought you into my life, and you helped me write The Maze of Medicare because we took Medicare and put scripture with it. Because people are stressed. They don't know what to do, where to turn.
You can order The Maze of Medicare at TonySays.com. That's T-O-N-I, TonySays.com. We're back on Encouragement Live. I'm Don Hawkins with Dr. Mark McNear. Brad Smithart is a member of our team who's produced this music you hear in the background and some others as well. And if you're interested in getting a copy of that, Google Brad Smithart, S-M-I-T-H-A-R-T, and you can download some of his music, order that, and you'll be blessed. And again, as I mentioned, that book that Mark has written called Finding My Voice, and Mark, remind us again the subtitle of that book. It's a very creative subtitle.
Yeah, it's actually Finding My Words, A Ruthless Commitment to Healing Gently After Trauma.
Yeah, Finding My Words. I can't read my writing here for some reason. I've got to change. In fact, I think that's happened before when I've been on with you. I looked at words and I read voice. But A Ruthless Commitment to Dealing Gently with Trauma, is that the way to put that?
Now you got me mixed up. A ruthless commitment to healing gently after trauma.
After trauma. Okay, we get that part right. My apologies to your publisher and to you, and we'll get that all right. 855-586-5433 is the toll-free number. I want to come back to Matthew 5:4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. The status of people who are infertile, who've miscarried, had abortion, lost a child, abusive mother, and even people, for example, who went through the horror of 9/11, people in Israel who went through the horror of October the 7th, or some of those kind of events. Mark, there's no question that the lasting effect is trauma, and they need to mourn. But help us understand, what does it mean to mourn or to grieve?
You know, I think one of the things that's really important to do is to look at something and not rationalize it, not make excuses for it, you know, not spiritualize it, but just look at, you know, what has happened in your life. You know, look at the feelings and allow the feelings to come up, including mourning, including sadness or depression, and face the things that have been a part of your life. I think so many people run away from their feelings, and that just causes a lot more emotional pain in the long run.
Denial is the thing that we're talking about here. This didn't really happen to me. It's not as bad as I thought it was, or as bad as I felt like it was, that kind of thing. And
I think it was M. Scott Peck that said that you know, good mental health is looking at reality at any cost.
Yeah. Oh, that's a very good definition. We have a caller on the line. Ann is listening tonight and doesn't mention the location, but thank you for your call, Ann. Go ahead. You're on the air with Mark.
Yes. Mother's Day is hard because when I was a teenager, my mother started drinking, and I was the oldest of four children, and I felt like I had more responsibility. And after it lasted 5 years, I'd say, and I knew she was saved, or felt very strongly she was. No one knows anybody's heart for sure, but I actually prayed, Lord, if she's not going to straighten up, she's worrying my grandmother, her mother, so much. I mean, she just grieved herself. And my brother's little brother, he was only 12 when the Lord took her. After I prayed that you would just take her, Lord, if she's not going to straighten up, because it's just running everybody crazy. And he, when he took her, I felt so guilty. I still feel guilty to this day, even though it's been years and years.
Well, I'm so glad you called us tonight, Ann. And, you know, Mark, this is an issue we've dealt with on this program before. Sometimes we pray and ask God to do what's best for a person, and sometimes that may be to take that person home. It's sort of like, Mark, when we have a child, a young child, and the child goes outside and begins to play in the traffic, in the street, and we tell the child not to, and the child persists in doing that. But the reality is that person just keeps on with what they're doing. And, you know, a loving parent will take that child in the house. And I think sometimes God will take a person home. Would you speak to Ann and the feelings of guilt that she's experiencing?
Yeah, Ann, I just want to thank you for calling and being so real and being so honest with this. You know, there's a verse that I often think about. It's 1 John 3:20, and it says, even if our feelings condemn us, God is greater than our feelings and knows all things. And so I think that, you know, when we take that guilt on and we carry that guilt with us, it is so painful for us to do. And I think that you can rest in the fact that we have a loving God who does the best for loved ones that are around us. And I'm just wondering right now, like, for you, what would it be like for you to let go of this or begin to let go of the guilt?
Yeah. What do you think about that, Ann? How could you let go of that?
Well, I believe that for the most part, I finally have, but I've dealt with depression off and on several years. And two or three times it got pretty close to the S word. I don't want to say the word.
Sure. We understand. But, yeah.
It wasn't just that. It was other things in my life, dealing with divorce and remarried, and my mother married three or four times, and I had to deal with stepdads and just bitterness. And then when I did marry a good man, I hadn't dealt with the bitterness, and so hurt people.
Yes.
So I felt guilty about that, too, and that caused the depression.
Sure. Have you thought about getting some counseling or maybe some pastoral work with a pastor to kind of help you with some of this? Or?
Well, I have talked to my pastor some, and he helped me feel better. And I did go to three different counselors through the years, but I never stuck it out with them long enough. You know, to really deal with the issue, but I can really say, praise God, now that I believe mostly I have dealt with the guilt, but sometimes the devil just comes back and haunts me with it.
And Ann, we're going to pray for you that you will be able to follow through with that and maybe even get into some additional counseling just to make sure that you have resolved that. Mark, do you think that would be in order?
I think that would be a wonderful gift to give yourself in.
Yeah, give yourself a Mother's Day gift. Mark, would you lead us in prayer for Ann?
Sure, I'd be glad to. Our Father, we just thank you so much for Ann, and I thank you for this very moment, Father, with her. I just want to pray for her heart, Father. You know her heart better than anyone, and so I pray, Father, that you would move into her heart, that you would work and bring healing even with the words that she said today. And I pray, Father, that if it be good for her, Father, that you would get her into some counseling, Father, and that she would get the relief. It sounds like she's had such a difficult life with so many things. And I just pray, Father, that you would relieve her of that. And so many times you use counseling for that, or the one another's. And so I just pray, Father, for her. I just pray, Father, that you would guide and direct, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ann. Great to hear from you.
Thank you so much.
And we'll ask our listening family to pray for you. 855-586-5433. Joining us on the line right now is a member of the Encouragement Communications Board, a longtime friend, Don Sapaw. Don, welcome to Encouragement Live. You've been on with me many times on this broadcast.
Hey, thank you, Don. Pleasure to be here.
And delighted to introduce you to Mark McNear, become a good friend as well.
Can I just pray for Ann?
Please
as well?
Do. Yes, would you do that,
Lord,
Don?
Lord, praise you for Ann for calling in. I mean, that's the first step. Number two, Lord, thank you for Mark.
Yes.
For his wisdom, for what he shared. For the fact that there is hope, that what she's struggling with, she can overcome, and she will survive, and God will provide that guidance. Amen. And thank you for people like Mark who can help her. So praise you. Thank you for Dawn. Thank you for the ministry.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And Don, you and I were talking earlier this afternoon, and you were reminding me of your involvement with helping people with trauma at 9/11 and after 9/11, and also in Oklahoma City, the bombing that took place there. Talk to us about those.
Well, I don't know how much time I have. So, you know, I've done radio a lot.
But, yeah.
I remember my first contact with Challenge was with somebody held a gun at my head in a hospital where they were confronting a patient in one of my communities, not senior living, but hospitals.
Right.
And it was pretty devastating. I remember Oklahoma City, where we went in and we trained pastors on how to care for, you know, crisis intervention, stress management.
Yeah.
It was hard.
Mm.
Don, it was hard.
Yeah.
You know, nobody ever seen that. When I went to 9/11, I was one of the first 1,000 people to be at ground zero. There were 3 levels. Nobody knows this, but there were 3 levels to get in to ground zero.
Hmm.
And I was at the bottom of the bottom of the bottom, and I have shoes that are burned, that are nothing more than burned rubber, because I was at ground zero at 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
And we prayed. We dug bodies out. It was difficult. And we trained on crisis intervention and understanding the crisis, whether it is something as dramatic as 9/11 or Oklahoma City, or someone in your family who may have chosen the path of least resistance, which is to take their own life.
Yeah.
They are all the same.
And God loves them, and God cares about them. And Mark McNear, you touched on the issue of hope. And that's really what happens when people are traumatized, is it not? And you talk about this in your book, Finding My Words, that in reality, hope is an essential for them to somehow regain.
Absolutely. I can remember getting out of rehab, Don, and just feeling not a lot of hope. And, you know, it was amazing to see how the Lord carried me through those days afterwards, you know, and that it built up after a while. As I practiced gratitude, as I read as I listened to things when I was able to, you know, I found my hope again, and now I have the opportunity to, like, share that with others, and so it's wonderful.
Stay on the line. Don, you stay with us, too, and we'll be right back.
Here's a conversation from HisFaithfulStewards.com.
I'm so frustrated with my retirement account. Every time the market drops, it seems to take a long time just to get back to where it was before the drop and to start growing again.
What if I told you that there's a way to save for retirement that doesn't risk any loss of your money in the market, and you can still earn good returns?
What do you mean by good returns?
Well, the plans that I work with have averaged 8 to 14% per year over the last 10 years. And since they're guaranteed never to lose their principal, no one ever has to waste time making up for losses.
I've heard those kinds of accounts have a lot of fees.
Actually, most of the accounts that I work with have no fees.
His Faithful Stewards offers a free short video series that helps you understand more of your options for your retirement savings, delivered to your email each week. Go to HisFaithfulStewards.com and sign up for the free video series. That's HisFaithfulStewards.com.
Dr. Frank Minerth was a pioneer in Christian counseling, and I had the privilege of working with him for several years.
Christian psychiatrist Dr. Tom Schoaf of the Hope Speaks Clinic in suburban Dallas.
I'm looking for Christian psychiatrists, psychologists, and therapists who would be willing to join me in carrying on Dr. Minerth's legacy.
To learn about working with Dr. Schoaf and his team of Christian professionals at Hope Speaks Clinic, you may visit hopespeaks.com/opportunity.
When you need to consider independent or assisted living or memory care for a parent or spouse, Restoration Senior Living provides a distinctly Christian setting with the most stringent quality care. Restoration's innovative program addresses the medical, emotional, and spiritual dimensions, leading to an enhanced quality of life. You can learn more at restorationsl.com. That's restorationsl.com.
For over 30 years, Don Hawkins has provided radio encouragement with a variety of gifted guests. Now you can be encouraged by these interviews with guests like Greg and Aaron Smalley, Dan Cathy, Dr. Frank Minerth, Josh McDowell, and more. Subscribe to the weekly Encouragement for You podcast, dropping Wednesdays at lifeaudio.com or at your favorite podcast app.
Welcome back to Encouragement Live. Our toll-free number is 855-586-LIFE. Here again is your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
Joined tonight on the phone by Dr. Mark McNear, author of Finding My Words, and my good friend Don Sapaw, who is the CEO of Restoration Senior Living, founder of that great organization. And Don, you were telling us a little bit about some of the traumas you've been through. And I would have to say, based on what you've told us about facing a man with a gun in the hospital and also 9/11 and what happened in Oklahoma City, that you not only were able to help people with trauma, but you had to deal with trauma in your own life as well. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, I wish that were a trauma would be a good term. You know, Mark can agree with this, I'm sure. But losing my, I have 23 grandchildren.
Yeah.
23 on the way. They all live 5 miles away. And one grandchild I lost. The other grandson I lost, I consider him part of the family.
Yeah.
He's not part of the 23, but I saw, 5 yesterday, 6 today, another 3 this afternoon. So I don't know how many that is, but I see many of them often, and I'm very blessed.
Yeah.
But you know what? Losing a family member is hard.
Yeah.
Losing a family member is very difficult. And I think what we do with senior living is a lot about what Mark was dealing with is, it's a grieving process.
Yeah.
There is a grieving process. I know from our experience with 500,000 patients at Rapa that losing or dealing with someone struggling with addiction or a psychiatric illness is also losing someone.
Yeah.
You feel as though you've lost them. And the same process occurs. And so, you know, for our listening audience, Don, I just believe that there are those out there who are struggling with somebody who feels like they're losing a loved one, you know, whether it's through addiction, whether it's through psychiatric issues, whether it's through dementia, which is multifaceted. I mean, we know there are five dominant areas of dementia.
Yeah.
But they're all the end of life.
Yeah.
Or whether it is their own. You know, it's, I don't see any of that any different.
Yeah.
What I dealt with when we were digging bodies out in 9/11 at the ground zero, you know?
Yeah, and you suffered loss there. You saw people who had died. And in dealing with seniors, obviously, one of the things that happens, we have a senior living facility just about three blocks away from our home, and frequently the ambulance is there either taking someone for critical care or perhaps the hearse is there to pick somebody up. And you know, there's a lot of grief. And, Mark, we're back to this subject of grief again. And you know, there's stages of grief. But somehow when a person is going to grieve successfully, and Mark, we talked with Ann about this, you have to get beyond the denial. And that's a really hard thing, is it not?
Yeah, I think that, you know, there's denial, and then there's looking at the anger, and it's looking at bargaining, and it's looking at, you know, sadness and depression. And, you know, reaching a certain level of depression, I mean, in this world, there's never a complete healing.
Yeah.
But we can keep striving and for the healing that Christ provides us.
Yeah, and that's something that's so critical to understand, that Christ is ultimately the source of hope and the source of healing. And, Don, I know that what you did with Rapha was to focus on the Christ-centered approach to hope and healing for those kinds of issues. And you do that with your patients at Restoration Senior Living as well, correct?
Yeah, and I think Mark is just so on target. I don't know him. And I would love to meet him and spend time with him. But, you know, our residents struggle. They're hurting.
Yeah.
They don't know why. And sometimes they turn to anger, especially the family members.
Yeah.
Those who are around someone who is struggling with either addiction or psychiatric issues or death or Alzheimer's or some or other dementia, they're hurting and they strike out in anger.
Yeah.
And what I have done is tried to train them. I hope Mark agrees, but I've tried to train them to understand that the anger is not towards the caregiver. It's really their frustration. It's their frustration. They're losing something they've had.
Yeah.
I feel the same. I saw my own mother yesterday, and it hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts
to
see her dying and to see her ending her life, you know, with significant left frontal lobe and Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
It hurts. And does not that happen with others, you know, with other issues? And Mark's been talking about that. And I thought Ann was very clear, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, she needs hope. She needs help.
Yeah. And that's why, you know, we can talk about these things. And Mark, your perspective on the kind of dealing with the anger issues as Don was talking about.
you know, I often think about, and I saw this quote that, you know, often anger is kind of a barrier to keep away the sadness.
Yes.
And so it's kind of like the doorway. And so, you know, a lot of times when you see people with so much anger, you know, if you could imagine or take a peek behind that and just realize that there's so much pain, there's so much fear, there's frustration, there's hurt there.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where real healing comes about, is when people can get beyond the anger and go toward the sadness.
Boy, and that's so true. And again, getting some good, solid, Christ-centered Christian counseling can make all the difference in the world. Don, I'm so glad you were able to join us. I want to lead us in prayer for you and for your mother and for those who may have lost their mothers because or maybe in the process of losing their mothers to Alzheimer's or dementia. Heavenly Father, thank you for Don and for his heart for this ministry, and Lord, for serving you and the ministry he's had through Rafa, and how he worked behind the scenes with the American Association of Christian Counselors and with others, and doing the trauma work at 9/11 in Oklahoma City and these other places, and Lord, how you've used him, and I pray that you would encourage him at this time, even as he reached out to his mother who's going through some end-of-life issues at this time. And Lord, I pray for others tonight who may be about to lose a mother, who are feeling that pain. Give them great encouragement and strength and help and hope. And thank you for Mark and his part in this ministry as well, for the privilege we have to talk to people around the country, Lord, who are going through hard and hurting times, and offer encouragement and hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Don, thank you, my brother. We'll have you back on in June. I'm looking forward to it. Don't forget to put that on your calendar, okay?
Bless you. Bless you. Thank you, Don. Thank you, Mark.
Nice to meet you, Don.
Great. We'll get you guys together. God bless.
Yes, definitely.
Bye-bye. And Michelle is waiting patiently in Indiana. Go ahead, Michelle. You're on the air with us.
Hello there. Thank you so much for this program. I don't necessarily always struggle with Mother's Day, although it does sometimes is a little bit more difficult of a time. My background is somewhat complicated. My parents divorced when I was young. My mom remarried a few times into abusive relationships that also impacted me. But through that, to be honest, I met the Lord, and I realized early on, the Lord just spoke to me. I am sovereign, whether you love that or not. But you may, you know, I would not have been open to the Lord, I don't feel.
But the Lord does have a way of reminding us, Michelle, that he is sovereign and we are not. And he uses some traumatic things sometimes to do that.
He does. And but I think the thing, and I really... based on that background, I would struggle with the Lord. I never want to get married. I would never want to have children that would have to go through something like that. What if I made those same errors and, you know, this kind of thing. And eventually, you know, in opening to the Lord, I actually met my husband, who's a wonderful man, and loves the Lord him as well and leads our household in that direction. So I'm so thankful for that. But we had a miscarriage, and then we're never able to have children.
Yeah.
And so I am also coming from this side of, Lord, now I'm angry because, you know, I struggled with those matters even. And then it was like, okay, thank you, Lord. There's some breakthrough in me related to that. And now... You took our baby, you know, baby.
Yeah.
And so there's that. But also just, I think in the beginning of this program, you were discussing how, you know, sometimes at church also we're insensitive. And I'm never like, oh, wow, I'm the victim here. I realize every person has been through some sort of trauma in their life. And I'm very sensitive to that, I feel, because of my own background. But It's always awkward for me. Like, for example.
Yeah. Hold that thought. Hold that example Michelle. We're coming up on a break, and I want to get you to stay on the line. And Dr. Mark McNear is with us. His book is Finding My Words. You can find that book on Amazon.com, and we will be right back. Our number, 855-586-LIFE. Dallas Theological Seminary President Dr. Mark Yarborough on the story of Scripture.
It's a two-day seminar that walks individuals from Genesis to Revelation.
Well,
and tells the grand story of God and what He is doing.
Don't miss your opportunity to find your place in the greatest story ever told.
And we find out by the time we get to the Gospels, it's all about Jesus.
The story of Scripture exists to fuel your passion as a believer toward a journey of deeper engagement in the full narrative of Scripture.
All this Bible that we have, it's all connected, and it's one continuous story that starts in Genesis, but to show the continuity of that is an exciting thing.
To learn more or sign up, including the Cornerstone event June 14th and 15th at the Westin Galleria in Dallas, visit thestoryofscripture.org. That's thestoryofscripture.org.
Here's a conversation from HisFaithfulStewards.com.
I'm so frustrated with my retirement account. Every time the market drops, it seems to take a long time just to get back to where it was before the drop and to start growing again.
What if I told you that there's a way to save for retirement that doesn't risk any loss of your money in the market, and you can still earn good returns?
What do you mean by good returns?
Well, the plans that I work with have averaged 8 to 14% per year over the last 10 years. And since they're guaranteed never to lose their principal, no one ever has to waste time making up for losses.
I've heard those kinds of accounts have a lot of fees.
Actually, most of the accounts that I work with have no fees.
His Faithful Stewards offers a free short video series that helps you understand more of your options for your retirement savings, delivered to your email each week. Go to HisFaithfulStewards.com and sign up for the free video series. That's HisFaithfulStewards.com.
Back with Dr. Mark McNear tonight on the program. His book, Finding My Words, A Ruthless Commitment to Healing Gently After Trauma. And joining us also is Michelle, sharing with us in Indiana. And Michelle, you're the kind of person we were talking about at the very beginning of the program. I have some dear friends who went through the same kind of thing as you, had a miscarriage, and then were not able to have children so far. And we've been praying with them for a miracle to happen. And sometimes God does work miracles. The good news is that baby, that miscarriage, is in heaven. And you'll have the privilege to meet that baby someday and spend eternity.
Good.
Isn't that amazing?
Good. Yes, it is. And it is amazing.
Yeah.
I think my thing I struggle with currently is just, number one, just feeling some loss as a woman, you know. In other words, you know, I do believe, you know, women, like in the family anyway, we typically are mothers, and, you know, of course, caring for our husbands and our households. And then so some loss or I don't know what to call it, abnormalcy related to that, and especially when many of my peers, you know, that is the phase of life they're in. You know, they're raising their children, or they're seeing them graduate from high school and go to college, or they're in college, you know, like, and my husband and I, you know, we're older now, so we're not going to have children, and we discussed adoption a lot. And the Lord kind of gave us a word just about, you have spiritual children, and that is the truth. I mean, that's a joy to us.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I still have just awkwardness, you know, when you're with all the women that do have children and they're talking all about their kids and you're there in silence and what to do with that, you know, like, or do you have children? No, And then
yeah, what do you say?
Silent,
yeah.
Silence.
What do you say after that? Yeah, let's talk to Mark about that. Mark, I'm sure you have talked with ladies who have experienced what Michelle is going through, being in a group and everybody's talking about their children, and all of a sudden they look at her and what about your children? And what do you say?
Like, really, in situations like that, there's like a loss of words. And I feel for you. That's really, yeah, really hard. Yeah. You know, I think that there's no good answer for it. You know, it's a time when you need to, you know, hopefully get around a couple of really close friends and be able to talk to them about it. Maybe do some counseling around it. You know, continuing to seek the Lord with things like this, because it's really, you know, that's why we were talking about it today. Things like this are really painful. And, you know, I think a lot of times we talk about healing, and healing is a progression. It's not, you know, one size fits all, and it's not one and done. It's something that we go through in our life. But I'm really feeling for you as you shared that tonight. Yeah. It's really, really hard.
Mark, would you lead us in prayer for Michelle? I just think certainly prayer is important. I want to encourage our entire listening family to lift up Michelle and others who right now are grieving the loss of the ability to have children. Lead us, if you will.
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, and we just pray for Michelle. We thank you for her bravery of calling and sharing, Father, and she's a perfect example of what we've been talking about tonight. We just pray for her, Father. We just pray for guidance. We pray for wisdom. We pray, Father, for insight in those times when she's around people and really doesn't know what to say or what to do. I just pray, Father, that you would wrap your arms around her, that you would be with her, Father, and that she would know that you are loving her and that she is the beloved, Father. And
yes.
Because I ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Michelle,
amen.
I'm so glad you called us tonight. We will be praying for you. And I think what you shared is going to help and encourage a lot of other people tonight who are going through that same thing. May the Lord bless you. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
You bet.
Thanks, Michelle.
Bye-bye. 855-586-5433 will connect you with Dr. Mark McNear and with me, and we want to help you and encourage you and pray with you. 855-586-LIFE. Mark, you suffered a different kind of trauma than what we've been talking about tonight, but that trauma really started in childhood with abuse, and sometimes it can lead to the kind of pain. I mean, we've talked about abusive mothers, and while maybe we think more of abusive fathers, mothers can be abusive as well.
Absolutely. I've worked with so many women who have struggled, and men too, with mothers who have not been very loving or who have not been able to connect, who have had addictions, things like that. It's much more common than we think, you know. And I think that, as I said to you earlier, Don, I'm really encouraged by the movement that I see in the church. And you know, you and I have our roots back with Frank Minerith, and
yes.
Just all of the good work that he did. And,
yes.
And, you know, I think that it's paying off in the church, where there's a lot of people now, a lot of people who are really receptive to emotional healing.
Yeah, Frank is in heaven now, and Frank and Don Sapol became good friends over the years. That was Don was the CEO at Rafa, Frank was the CEO at Minrith Meyer, and I worked with both of them over the years. And I think God used those two organizations and those men, and you and me and some others, to open the Christian community to the fact that it's okay to get good Christian counseling, biblically based, where the scripture is the final authority. It can really make a difference in a person's life. And Mark, I'm so thankful for the ministry God has given you. And your book, Finding My Words, A Ruthless Commitment to Healing Gently After Trauma. I finally underlined it and got the title and subtitle right. I was grieving the loss of my notes here, and I finally found that. Yeah, sometimes we grieve the loss of small things as well as big things as well. I think You've hit on something with the fact that the church is more into supporting and encouraging. But let's address specifics on how we can support and encourage those who've suffered from the kinds of trauma that Michelle has suffered and that Anne has suffered and others have been through this kind of thing. How can we especially support them at Mother's Day and around this time?
You know, I think that what I would recommend, and it's something that's really simple but really difficult to do, and that is to sit with somebody to hear their story and do not give them advice.
Yes.
You know, just let them talk about, you know, where they're struggling and where they are in the process.
Yeah.
I think so many times when we're feeling out of control and talking with other people, we tend to want to kick into giving them advice, and
yeah,
it's really the last thing we need to do.
Isn't that the truth? And a couple of things that I feel like are very much on the to-don't list. You know, we have our to-do list, and many times I've recommended to people who are stressed out and approaching burnout, make a to-don't list, to don't do these things. And one thing to don't do is to tell somebody who's grieving, well, you should be over it by now. We lost a grandson a number of years ago, and my daughter has been told by many people, you ought to be over it by now. And I just think that's one of the worst things we can say, or to make it even worse, to say, get over it. You know, that's so unchristian. Yeah.
Yeah, it's nonsense. It just reflects a lack of understanding of the grieving process.
Yeah. And we just, if you love people, you want to support them. You want to encourage them as they grieve. You want to listen. And I think there's a big place for listening. It's amazing to think about, Mark, that God designed us and created us with two ears and one mouth. You don't suppose there's a message in that somewhere, do you?
I think there is, and I think we use them definitely wrongly. We speak too much. You know, James talks about, you know, be slow to speak. And I think that,
yeah,
especially when we're around people who are suffering, you know, it's best to keep our mouth shut.
Yes.
And to be able to just hear what their story is.
Yeah, just to piggyback in on that comment from James 1, let every one of you be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger, because the wrath of man doesn't produce the righteousness of God. And sometimes we get impatient with people, and we like you say, we go into the counseling mode or the advice giving mode. And whereas if we listen and encourage, and by the way, if you tell somebody I'm going to pray for you, you better pray for them, right?
Yeah, do your best. You know, I think we're all guilty of not always following through, but we really need to be aware of that and realize that other people rely on our prayers.
Yeah. Mark, you talk about three things in your book, abuse, addiction, and recovery. And the minute or two that we have left in this program, can you give us a synopsis of those steps to healing?
Sure, I'd be glad to. What I had to do is I had to look at, you know, the abuse that I had in my life in order to begin to start healing and to begin to deal with the addictions that I've had in my life. And what I found is as I began to work on the traumas, the urges for those maladaptive behaviors lessened tremendously. And so that was the path of healing. You know, I don't want people to listen to that and think it's 1, 2, 3, though. I'm going into my 10th year.
Yeah.
I'm doing well, but it's hard.
Yeah, it is hard. Recovery really is a process, is it not?
Yeah, I think we're all in recovery.
Yeah, you know, to some degree or another, we
yeah,
certainly are.
I was
talking with a man in the community today, and he was telling me he had 2 years of sobriety. And I said, you know, thank the Lord. I said, now you can begin to work on some spiritual issues in your life,
yeah,
some connections with God that can make a difference there. And if we're talking to somebody tonight who hasn't trusted Christ as Savior, that's the ultimate answer, the ultimate source of hope. Bible says we've all sinned and come short of God's glory, and the penalty for sin is death. But Christ paid the penalty for your sins and mine and rose again from the dead to guarantee that if you placed your trust in Him, you could have eternal life. If you'd like to trust Christ as Savior, reach out to us through the website, encouragementlive.org. Thank you, Dr. Mark McNair, for being with us tonight. Again, the book, Finding My Words, A Ruthless Commitment to Healing Gently After Trauma, for all of us who are part of the team at Encouragement Live. Good night.